Hey, hey, now welcome, welcome, welcome. You are listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I am your host, Lynn Richardson. It's WVON 1690 AM, the talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, our favorite radio station. And we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time. And that means you. Well, 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 as you know, we are here to serve. We are here to help build wealth. I am always, always so excited to talk about, I'm going to just say taboo topics. All of the taboo topics, we address them here on the Millionaires Roundtable, and we make them fun, we make them relatable, and we certainly hope that they give you power and we make them practical so you can actually use them. And of course, anytime I have a discussion like this, I have to bring my good friends at JP Morgan Chase. And today I have Santos Borges, community manager with Chase. And Santos Borges is a community manager in Chicago for community and business development. He's a local ambassador for Chase, whose job is to build and nurture relationships with key community leaders. And today we are going to talk about credit. Now, here's the deal. I know it sounds like a catch-22. You need credit to get credit, but there are ways people can establish and build credit for the first time while also improving their overall financial health. You'll hear lots of people say debt is bad, debt is good, but I always say credit is like a muscle. You have to exercise it in order for it to get stronger. So without further ado, welcome to the roundtable, Santos. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dr. Lynn. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. And as you mentioned, credit can be a taboo subject. So I'm excited to talk a little bit about credit today and just excited to be here with you. So thanks for having me.
Thank you. I always, always, always love having these discussions. And, you know, this happens to be one of my favorite topics because it was my absolute worst nightmare. It was my rock bottom in my life. And I went to college and got a bunch of credit cards, couldn't pay anybody. When the creditors called and said, can you borrow the money? I'd say, can I borrow it from you? And I got out into the real world and my credit was messed up. And I was like, oh my God, what did I do? And I know so many people out there have either had that experience or know someone who does. So before we dive in, can you give us a quick overview of credit scores and why they matter?
Yes, Dr. Lynn, and your story is often too common, right? I hear this very often out in the field. A lot of people don't learn about credit in school, and if they're not talking about it at their dinner table, they really learn from experience, right? So when I think about credit, I like to think about credit being part of our financial power. Credit is basically a loan of money, and it comes in many different forms. The most common examples will be a credit card or a loan for a large purchase like a car, right? What kind of credit or loan you get will depend on your credit score. The higher it is, the more credit worthy you are in the eyes of the lender. I mean, knowing how credit works and why your score matters can make a difference, make you feel more confident when making that decision to apply for credit.
Excellent. I love it. I love it. So while we're talking about credit, you mentioned that a good credit score is essential for financial health. But how do you establish credit if you're completely new to credit building?
Yes, that's a great question, Dr. Lynn. You need a regular credit card to build up a good credit score by showing you can pay your bills on time. But you need a good credit score to get a regular credit card in the first place. So let me walk you through some options that are available to people who are just getting started on their credit journey. First thing we can do is use a family member or a trusted friend who has good credit to co-sign a loan. A family member or a trusted friend with established strong credit can serve as a co-signer on a credit card to increase your chances of being approved for the loan when you have no credit. Now, in this case, the co-signer is putting their fate of their credit in your hands. Any missed payments on your part will damage the credit score of the co-signer as well as yours. Now, what I would also say is that you can also become an authorized user on an existing credit card. This is one of the quickest and easiest ways of establishing credit. When you're added as an authorized user, that account will be added to your credit report. What this means is that positive habits like making consistent payments on time and keeping the credit card balance low will positively impact your credit score. Now, one thing I will say about this is when you get added to someone's card, if they don't make payments on time or if their credit balance is too high, that can also damage your credit. So it goes both ways. It can help you, but it can also hurt you.
You know what? This is so good. And it's one of the ways that I recommend parents help their children start out with good credit. I'm very blessed. My youngest daughter's graduating from college this year. So I've got three college graduates and all three of my daughters did much better than me. They all have high 700 credit scores. And I added them as authorized users to an account that I knew I wasn't going to use, but that had a very, very, you know, good payment history, high credit limit, and very, very low or zero balance. So what you're saying is absolutely great. This is wonderful. So tell me, Santos, are there any ways, because I know that's a good one, and some people are lucky enough to have that, and some people are not. Are there any good ways to establish credit without relying on someone else's credit score?
Yes, absolutely, Dr. Lin. So a couple of things that you can do is you can use a secured loan or a secured credit card. Secured credit cards may be an option for those with little to no credit. Now, a secured credit card works similar to a prepaid card, where the required security deposit is typically going to be the same amount as the credit limit. So for example, if you were to put $300 down or $500 down, you'll be able to get a credit limit of that exact amount. Or you may also apply for low barrier credit cards. So some retailers and businesses will often approve applicants with little credit history for a store credit card. Now, these cards usually carry a higher interest rate, but your payments on these cards are reported to the three main credit bureaus. And this is one good way to build up a good payment history, assuming you pay your bills on time.
All right. I love it. You know, we're talking about establishing and building good credit. And what I would say to everybody is to just start, you know, at the beginning, start where you are, even if you've made mistakes in the past. Everything that you're hearing here today with Santos Borges at Chase can help you. So I say put one foot in front of the other and keep moving forward. So Santos, tell me this. Now that we know the basics of establishing credit, what are some of the ways of maintaining a good credit score?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Lin. And that's really important, right? Once we build good credit, we want to try to maintain our good credit. So when we think about credit, scores can range anywhere from 300 to 850. According to the credit bureaus, a score of 700 or better is considered good, right? So in order to build your score, you want to pay bills on time. And also consider setting up all automatic payments, even if it's for that minimum amount, so that you're never late. Also, if possible, you want to pay down any debt you can and only apply for accounts you need. You also want to start to prepare for large purchases. If you're getting ready to make a large purchase and plan to apply for new credit, such as a home or a car loan, you want to review your credit report and score to help you apply with confidence. It's important that we look at our credit and we know what's on there so that before we go apply for that mortgage or before we go apply for that auto loan, we know exactly where we stand, right? And we're able to go in there with confidence. Sometimes scores can also be affected by inaccuracies on your report. So checking ahead of time will help you identify and resolve any potential issues before a lender does a credit check. So I'll give you a quick story. I had a client who was applying for an auto loan and they hadn't checked their credit report. So they were unaware of a collection that was on there that didn't belong to them. There was some type of medical collection that didn't belong to them and they didn't know until they came and applied for that auto loan. So that's why we really encourage everyone to check your credit report and score just so that you don't have any surprises when you're trying to apply for credit. And then you can also check with your bank for additional resources. Many banks provide resources to help monitor and improve your credit score. At our Chase community branches, we host credit workshops as well as budgeting and saving workshops. We offer free online tools. One is called Chase Credit Journey. And Chase Credit Journey helps you when you're trying to make a big purchase, you can go on there and look at your credit score. It also alerts you of any changes to your credit report. So lastly, what I'll leave you with is to access any free information, tools, resources to help you throughout your financial health. Whether you're a Chase customer or not, you can go to www.chase.com/financial goals. One more time, that's www.chase.com/financial goals.
All right. Let me tell you, this is the season and now is the time. And I can't think of a better reason than because you matter, you count, you are viable, and you are able to accomplish any of the dreams that you have for yourself. Please do not let a poor credit score or mistakes in the past hold you back from building wealth. So this is awesome. Santos, you have been amazing. I am excited about everything that you're doing. Thank you so much for being with us today. And we are going to continue to talk about establishing and building credit. So many people need it. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Don't turn that dial. We have to take a break. We'll be
more of the Millionaires Roundtable coming up on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I'm your host, Lynn Richardson, and we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time. And that means you. That's right. So we're talking about the stair step to wealth on credit. And I started out with the golden rule for credit. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. When it comes to credit, treat your creditors as you'd have your debtors treat you. So that puts things in perspective. One of the things that I say all the time is this: if you have a situation with a creditor and you cannot pay, then I tell everybody, stop dodging the phone. You're too grown to dodge your own phone. Stop looking at the phone to see if you recognize the number. And if you don't recognize the number, you answer the phone like you're really not yourself to see if it's somebody asking for you who shouldn't be asking for you. You know, all of that. Been there, done all of that, right? If you do not have the money, I have a simple thing that you do. You call your creditors and you say, listen, I don't have it. That's what you say. Now, realize this. The person who is listening on the other end probably has credit issues too. The person who is listening on the other end probably has had a money issue too. The person who is listening on the other end is not the president or the CEO of the company. That person is a customer service representative or a collection person. And the collection people, you know, they try to come at you hard, but sometimes they're broke too, okay? So when you do not have the money, start out thinking of the golden rule. If your relative could not pay you back, wouldn't you prefer a phone call to say, I don't have the money to pay for this, over them dodging you? Because we've all had that experience. We loan money to a family member, to a friend. Sometimes we really don't want to do it. And if you can't do it, we really shouldn't do it. I remember loaning money to people when I didn't have it so they wouldn't think I was broke, which I was, and then they couldn't pay back. And then I got all crazy. You know, the cycle just gets out of control. And it is okay when someone calls you explaining their dilemma, their situation, it is okay for you to say no. But in this instance, you said yes. And now the person doesn't want to talk to you. And I tell people all the time, if your relative or if the person had called you and said, listen, I'm living check to Monday. I don't have the money. I thought I was going to have it. I owe my child support and whatever. You're probably going to say, pay me what you can, when you can. That's probably what you are going to say. Well, guess what? That's what the creditors also have the ability to say. You call a creditor when you cannot pay. I'm going to give you a couple of things that guaranteed. If you have a car note and you cannot pay that car note, do not wait until you're 30 days late. When you know you cannot pay on the due date, call them and tell them what happened. Tell them you lost your job or your car broke down and you had to fix it to go to work. And because now you spent the money to fix it, you don't have the money to pay for it. Tell them that someone in your household lost an income. Tell them that you've been ill. Tell them that you simply don't have it. And you had some unexpected expenses. Now, sometimes, unfortunately, those unexpected expenses are things that we did willingly and voluntarily, thinking that somehow the money angel was going to drop some money out of the sky. And it just did not work out that way. But it's okay. Don't beat up on yourself. But communicate. Yes, communicate. Tell them the truth if you can. 9.9999999 times out of 10, and I'm not going to say every single time because maybe there's someone out there who couldn't get it. If you're talking to someone who you have an installment debt with, if you're talking to a creditor where you have an installment debt is that debt that you pay a set amount for a set period of time, like a car note for 4 years or 5 years, or a student loan for the rest of your life, or a mortgage. Most of the time, if you have some kind of installment loan outside of the mortgage, I'll tell you about the mortgage later, they will give you a forbearance or a deferment. So they will say, listen, you don't have to pay this month, next month, and the month after that. In many cases, you can get minimally a 2-month deferment. And in some cases, you can get 3 or 4 months, okay? And so they'll take those payments. You were supposed to finish paying for the car at the end of 2023. So now they add on those extra payments. So now you'll pay it off early in 2024. And now you've got some relief. And you do that with every single creditor that you have. If you are struggling right now with your bills, call your creditors. Call your landlord, explain to your landlord. I still think that there are some COVID protective regulations in place. If you cannot pay your rent, if you cannot pay your car note, if you cannot pay your student loan, I tell people all the time, there is absolutely no reason to ever default on a student loan. Now, that's the one debt I've never got myself in trouble with. I've always made sure I communicated with the student loan company so I would not have to have my tax refunds taken and not be able to get a license and all these other things that happen when you do not pay your student loan. So once again, if you have an installment debt, you can ask for a deferment, a forbearance, or a temporary moratorium on your payments. And the beauty in asking for it, as opposed to just doing it without asking, if you ask for it, then they will not report you late to the credit bureaus, okay? And that's important. It's important to try to avoid a late payment on your credit bureau if you can, if you can avoid that, if you can communicate, all right? Your utilities, a hospital bill, any of those things, communicate with those creditors and tell them what you can pay. Now, if you are in a really tough situation, life has flipped upside down. You don't know which way is up. Your financial situation has gotten completely out of control. And now you are in a position, if you could just start over fresh, then you could pay what you have today, your new bills, but you just cannot pay your old bills and you're never going to catch up, then bankruptcy may be a consideration. And let me help you understand something. Even people who file bankruptcy are good to go in 2 years. You can buy a house, you can get a car, and if you file a Chapter 13 bankruptcy, you can get a house within a year of your Chapter 13, as long as you've made those payments on time. So listen, bankruptcy is not the end of the world. Let me repeat, bankruptcy is not the end of the world. And wealthy people will file bankruptcy because they will see that their cash flow is going to be down to $500 million, and they will preserve their cash and then get the protection of the bankruptcy court so that they can start over fresh and get on a new slate. By the time broke people file for bankruptcy, broke was 82,000 stages ago, okay? We get there and don't know what to do. So dispel the myths and claim your power. The harvest is here and the time is now.
Don't turn that dial. We have to take a break. We'll be right back.
More of the Millionaires Roundtable coming up on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I'm your host, Lynn Richardson, and we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time, and that means you. Yes, the harvest is here and the time is now. We're talking about the stair steps to wealth. Number one was to spend less money. Number two, get more money. Number three, get your money back. Number four, make your money grow and plan for retirement. Because when you are working, you need a paycheck. But when you retire, you need a paycheck. Number five was to protect your wealth and your assets and your loved ones with proper life insurance and estate planning. Number six, the next one, is to own where you live. Own where you live. Invest in real estate. Make that a part of your strategy at some point. And now we are here on number seven, and that is to deal with your credit. Deal with your credit. Manage your credit. But most importantly, strategically, put things in place so that you can grow financially and get the things that you want and do the things that you want to do. Now, several of my colleagues believe in being 100% debt-free. I have found that to be impossible for most people I know. Most people I know need a mortgage for a home. Most people I know need the ability to get a car note. I personally believe that you should buy a car, pay it off, and then drive that joker for 15 years if you can, car note free, and keep that money in your pocket so you could make it grow. That is my situation. I have a 2005 Mercedes that I still own. I bought it in 2010. It had less than 50,000 miles on it, and it was about $40,000 cheaper than the brand new Mercedes, and so I saved a whole lot of money. I don't drive a whole lot anyway. The car still looks good, but I also lease a Mercedes. My company leases a Mercedes because that car is for company purposes, and the entire lease is a tax write-off to me. As long as I'm driving that car for business, which is I only drive the car for business and I don't drive a lot anyway. So most people I know are going to leverage other people's money while they are building their own, and or they're going to make certain financial moves that are beneficial to either their cash flow and or their ability to build credit. Credit is like a muscle. You have to exercise it in order for it to grow. And I recommend that you have a strong credit score over being 100% debt-free forever and never having any credit at all. Now, if you don't have any credit at all, that's actually okay for buying a home. You can still buy a home with absolutely no credit score, okay? But it's the low credit score that then becomes a problem for most people who are trying to acquire some kind of asset that they do not have the cash to pay for. So we were talking about bankruptcy, and it is not the end of the world. It is not the end of the world. There are a couple of things that are specifically to your advantage if you are in trouble. If your home, I said earlier, if you have an installment debt, like a car note or a furniture bill, you can call them, get a deferment, where mortgages don't necessarily work that way. During the pandemic, there were some allowances. However, your house went into
another status. So if someone goes to pull your credit report and you want to refinance or buy another home, they're going to see that you're not paying your current mortgage, and it's going to be a problem. So if you miss your, let's say your January car payment, when February rolls around, you can just pay it. That's not how a mortgage works. If you miss the January mortgage payment, when February rolls around, you have to pay January and February at the same time. They do not take partial payments for mortgages unless you have some kind of forbearance or other default arrangement put in place, which at that point, it will probably impact your score. But if you are past due on your mortgage and you cannot catch up, you can file a Chapter 13 bankruptcy. A Chapter 13 bankruptcy will place all of your past due mortgage payments, but you will also get your other debt, your car notes, your credit cards, and all of it will be wrapped into one payment that it will be lower than what you would have had to pay if you paid it all separately. So there's a couple of things that they're going to knock off. They're going to knock off excessive interest on some of your lower status creditors. So in a Chapter 13 bankruptcy, the home is at the top of the food chain. Your car notes and installment debts, they come second, and student loans. But your credit card that you owe, your Visa, your MasterCard, your department store cards, they're going to come at the end. And unfortunately, they will not get all of their money. So if you owe your creditor $2,000, by the time they start to pay that creditor off, or by the time they pay it off, you may have only paid them $700. So some of your interest has been knocked off, okay? That's with the Chapter 13 bankruptcy, when you are going to pay the debt. Now let's talk about a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, when you're not going to pay the debt. You get to choose which debt you're going to keep in a Chapter 7 bankruptcy. And one of the things that you can ask for, if you are behind on your car note or you're going to file a Chapter 7, you can ask for a 722 redemption. A 722 redemption is going to enable you to keep that car, but they're going to shave off all of the excess interest. It is a win-win situation, and it is a game changer for people who are trying to get to the next level. So this is about strategy. This is about preserving yourself, preserving your legacy, and setting yourself up to win. And I am a witness. It is not the end of the world. Bankruptcy can help you strategize for a better future. The harvest is here and the time is now. It is your season to win.
Hi, I'm financial expert Lynn Richardson. You may have seen me on Good Morning America, The Steve Harvey Show, or Get Up Mornings with Erica Campbell. Guess what? Did you know you can get your money back if you hire your kids? You can get your money back if you go out to eat? You can get your money back if you go on a vacation? Well, guess what? In my book, Get Your Money Back, Tax Deductions You Never Know About, I'm going to teach you how you can get your money back with your home-based business legally, ethically, and all with the permission of the IRS. Just go to AskLynn.org.
The harvest is here. The time is now. It is your season to win. And yes, you can win with your credit. You can win with strategic planning as it relates to your credit. Now, I'm talking about personal credit. I'll have to deal with business credit at some time in the future. And I will. I'll go in depth into business credit. But what I want you to get here is being strategic about your own credit so you can then be even more strategic and have more power with your business credit. The beautiful thing about business credit, and I'll just say this, is for many kinds of business credit, your personal credit really does not matter. It's how well your business is doing. This is why you wanna not just have a home-based business, you wanna have a successful business. You don't wanna run a janky business, and you don't wanna run a broke business, okay? Let me tell you, we're gonna talk about janky businesses because I'm so tired of them, all right? But right now, we're talking about credit, and we're talking about having power. And what I'm saying to you is, if you've made a mistake, it is not the end of the world. And people who file bankruptcy are better off in a shorter amount of time than people who just keep bad credit year after year after year after year. I know people who've had collections and poor credit for, 10 years, 15 years, a dozen years. and they're afraid to file bankruptcy. But the truth is, had they filed the bankruptcy 10 years ago and learned the lesson, okay, learn the lesson so you can get the blessing, but more importantly, learn the lesson so you don't make those same mistakes and end up in debt again, then you can actually have more power and more financial strength. And remember, credit is an exercise. You must use it. A credit is like a muscle. You must exercise it in order for it to grow. Credit cannot grow if it is not leveraged and if you do not charge the thing or get the line of credit and actually pay it back. You have to do that. Here's a couple of other things I want to share with you. If you've had a bankruptcy and you're dealing with a credit situation, get a secured credit card from a major bank. When you have a credit card from a major bank, it tells other banks that, oh, there's someone who trusts this person. There are secured credit cards at Bank of America. I'm not endorsing anyone right now. I'm just giving you information. A secured credit card will allow you to put money in a savings account, let's say $500, $1,000, $2,500, $5,000, or whatever it is. You cannot withdraw that money. They will then give you a credit card, and that savings account will be used as collateral just in case you do not pay. After you have paid for sometimes even less than a year, I had a secured Discover card, and not only did they give me my money back in less than a year, they increased my credit line, which I keep the balance at zero. So you're getting more power. So now I have a major credit card. A Bank of America has a secured credit card. Citibank has a secured credit card. And Wells Fargo has a secured business credit card. Okay. So you can get some credit so that you can practice, meaning you're going to charge something that you were going to pay cash for anyway. So for example, charge your gas, your gasoline, charge your groceries, charge maybe your hair, nails, or you know, your haircuts. Charge those things and then take the money that you were going to use as cash to pay it off so you get in the practice of using that credit and making your credit score grow. All right? Here's something else that can help you after bankruptcy and even in Chapter 13. Paying all of your other creditors. Okay, so one of the ways I help people get approved for mortgages, if they don't have any credit on their credit report, then I know how to build a non-traditional credit report and use their light bill, gas bill, telephone bill, childcare bill, whatever it is, and create a credit score for you so that you can now get into this home. Once you get into the home and get a mortgage, now you've got good credit on your credit report and you can exercise that and make that grow. Okay, so one of the rules, and I want to just go back to it, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Treat your creditors as you'd have your debtors treat you. The next thing I'm going to say to you about credit is this. Use credit to leverage you getting the things that you need and not to splurge on the things that you want. Okay? The harvest is here. The time is now. It is your season.
Don't turn that dial. We have to take a break. We'll be right back. WVON.
More of the Millionaires Roundtable coming up on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I'm your host, Lynn Richardson, and we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time, and that means you. Yes, the harvest is here. The time is now. I'm going to keep on saying it so we can all be reminded of it. We are talking about the stair step to wealth. Number 7, we're dealing with credit. This is a place where we can actually exercise a little more power than we think. Credit does not have to be a permanent state of bondage. And credit doesn't have to be something that you are fearful of. So when I talk about my two basic underlying rules for credit, one is to treat your creditors as you'd have your debtors treat you, and pay the people back. And if you can't, call them. It's just as simple as that, okay? And the next principle is to use credit
to manage cash flow for the things that you need and not to splurge on the things that you simply want. I remember having in Chicago, there was a store called Marshall Fields. And here in California, you can find many different department stores. I don't know if it was closer to a Bloomingdale's. I think Marshall Field was probably closer to Bloomingdale's. Although Marshall Fields eventually became like a Macy's, but Marshall Fields was more upscale than Macy's. But the point is, I'd go to Marshall Fields and I would charge my new Coach bag every chance I could. Whenever there was enough available credit on the credit card, it was as if there was a, you know, the cookie monster, it was like there was a credit monster running around inside my head saying, go spend, go spend, go spend. So I didn't have enough money to buy the purse cash. And so I never buy. I do own some nice handbags, but I pay cash for them. And I can keep that money in there. I can keep the amount of cash in there as well, because we all live by the universal purse test. But I remember buying this purse. I had to pay the bill. And then in a few months, 4 or 5 months, I didn't even like carrying the purse anymore, but I was still paying the bill. I was still paying the bill, and I was still paying the bill for a long time. And that's when I stopped using credit to charge things like that. Now, certainly there are emergencies that happen. So I would also say use credit to manage emergencies. So again, that would fall into the category of the things that we need. And I think if we just get into that state, then we can find ourselves making better decisions when it comes to over leveraging ourselves and getting things out of control. I remember getting my credit straight and my husband's credit straight, and then using charging stuff that I really didn't need. And then when I needed the access to the credit, everything was at the limit. And so then I started to pay things late. And that's one of the things that happened during the recession of 2008. So we want to be strategic about this thing. Credit is something that you can master. And I have a 700 credit club at askglenn.org. But I'm encouraging as many people as possible to get to the 800 club. Okay. And we can do it because the harvest is here. The time is now. And you have the power.
I'm financial expert Lynn Richardson. You may have seen me on Good Morning America giving financial advice. When you get my freedom package, you get the 21 days to financial freedom and how to start a home-based business. See you in class.
The harvest is here. The time is now. We are talking about stair step to wealth number 7, and it is managing your credit. And, you know, I keep this one over here as number 7 because I don't want you to be afraid to build wealth without good credit. Now, am I saying everybody should file bankruptcy? Absolutely not. Am I saying everybody should ignore their credit and wait till the end? Absolutely not. But do not let bad credit stop you from planning for retirement. Do not let bad credit stop you from building in other areas. Do not let bad credit stop you from having a successful business, because it was me having a successful business that allowed me to get out of debt or to even put myself in a situation to build good credit so that ultimately, as things began to unfold and my businesses began to explode, the two started to work together hand in hand. But I did not wait to become debt-free first to become wealthy. I did not wait to get my credit straight first. I worked on what I could at the time that I was able to. And so for me, the foundation started with spending less money. And then I was on a mission to go and get more money. So I talk about that in my book, The Symphony, A Guide to Creating and Balancing Multiple Streams of Income, so that you can start to get the money that you need. You don't have money to pay your bills. We need more money, right? Or less bills. And sometimes those bills can't just disappear. Sometimes it's not just as simple as not going to get your nails done or not going to get your hair done or taking the kid out of maybe daycare and placing them, letting your mother or someone babysit, or if that's even possible. Sometimes it's not that simple. Sometimes it's debt that we have and we cannot get rid of it. Now, let me say this to you. People ask me about consolidation companies. I do not recommend consolidation companies. Let me tell you why. Let's say you've got 10 different credit cards and you want to consolidate everything into one lower payment. That consolidation company is going to reach out to your creditor, and the creditor may agree not to harass you, but it does not mean the creditor will refrain from reporting you late to the credit bureau. So they may still report you late. The next issue with a consolidation situation is you do not have the protection of the law. So if they consolidate all your bills and, you know, decide to change their mind, or there's a new premise, or there's a new policy or something like that, you don't have the protection of the law. And if you're going to do a consolidation, you want to formalize it in a bankruptcy. So one, you have the protection of the law, and two, you have the potential to not pay off as much interest. Now, am I suggesting that we should all try to go file bankruptcy so we don't have to pay anybody? No. When I filed bankruptcy the first time, I cried. The second time, I cried not as long, because the second time really wasn't my fault. I had planned properly. The recession hit, and it was the next best thing for me to do. One of the things that Oprah says is, when you don't know what to do, don't think about the whole problem. Just make the next best decision. So I want you making the next best decision. What is that decision for you? Who do you need to call now? If you are a debtor and you borrowed some money, do you need to call someone and apologize? Your power is in your integrity. The harvest is here and the time is now.
You have been listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I am your host, Lynn Richardson. It's WVON, 1690 AM, the talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, our favorite radio station. I want you to follow me on social media at Lynn Richardson. Follow this show at Lynn Millionaire. Go and get help at asklynn.org, because I want to help you take it to the next level. Guess what? I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye. I'm not sure.